Hello and welcome to episode number 6 of Table Set Yourself. This is the greatest podcaster or greatest podcast in the universe. And I'm speaking frankly here. Speaking just to you, right, dear coworker? Sorry for this. Arranging on the configuration of my microphone, and this week has been two-faced, let's say. On one hand, yeah, I got all those episodes published out until number 5, which is a pretty big thing. Now being able again to publishing directly, almost directly after recording an episode, which I haven't done in a month or in a year, I think. Yeah, last year I started with this behavior of always holding back what I have, was having something else in the hinterhand happen, in my backhand, always having something else to rely on that I can pull out. It's a nice term, nice expression in German, I think. Etwas in der Hinterhand, because Hinterhand is like your back hand. It's like a hand, your a hand that you're not showing, maybe hiding behind your body. And this I'm pulling out. But now, of course, this number 5, yeah, I don't know. It was it put me in a difficult place. Of course, it knocked me out and stuff. And then I also feel it calmed me so much when I was talking, and this whole weekend after publishing episode number 2 last week on Friday or Thursday, I think. And then, yeah, I was in a liberal state, really. Also, of course, smoking too much and getting high, but also thinking about this and realizing what this really meant, this episode, because also it makes myself fall in love again to this girl, to you, your co-worker, because yeah, of course, before I thought, yeah, maybe this is just over, or it's something I should suppress now because she was rejecting me, kind of, and then yeah, I should get over it. But then, yeah, at least got it out and got this feeling, oh no, this can't be over, and I have to fight every step and every battle, and even if I had to take all the steps, and yeah, you're clinging on to this feminine behavior, isn't that okay? I think even that I totally would like to do this if only you would accept me then and finally could also love me. But yeah, then I got so relaxed after stopping the recording on Sunday of this number 5. It felt, yeah, it was quite good. I'd gotten it all out. And then I said to myself, well, I didn't say anything because it's a habit, like I smoke every day. And then, yeah, the smoking, this gets me in a kind of paranoical state, a not so good state, where it lowers my energy level. And this makes me also nervous again. This is not so ideal. I thought this so many times, man. How much nicer would it be if I didn't smoke so much, because the next day I could enjoy more being at work, especially looking at her or thinking and like, all, yeah, maybe capturing some movement or gesture from her and thinking about what she's thinking, and especially on, well, then on Monday I got the feeling, oh yeah, why not publish this next episode, which was number 3. I recorded that in March. Number 2 was in February, or no, end of January. And then, right, number 3 in March. And published that out, and then published number 4, which I recorded the beginning of last week, and then number 5 this Sunday. But then, this day, Tuesday, when number 3 was published, and its name is Scheide or Mountain Crest or Mountain Ridge. And it's so great, I thought, too, because you have to take this term Scheide and associate it with something wholly different, because in a feminist way we cannot always think about this. If you're gonna always talk about men, also as a feminist, talking about men and how bad men are, or men are too violent and too powerful, suppressing women. But this is only perpetuating the oppression, which exists, of course, but we're not gonna tackle it. We're gonna keep talking about men and how great they are. No, we gotta talk about women and their organs also, and also associate them with something wholly different or something majestic, like a mountain. And then maybe you can feel, maybe then women can feel, or even I can feel that, yes, something great to be a woman, and femininity is something great. Therefore, I also said I want to become more feminine. And yeah, this is also the two-faced knife, a zweischneidiges Schwert, as we say in German. It's two-faced. It has a... But yeah. Look this up. Because when I become more feminine, yeah, I want to wait for you to take this step, or to at least maybe talk to me again. I had double-edged. But yeah, this in this way I also want to be feminine, and in other ways also. But but then this question, yeah, will you, or is this simply not happening? And it feels not so good now, because it didn't happen this week, and it always felt like, yeah, I was noticing maybe something at her that you also had listened to this episode maybe. But still, of course, it was so new, and also this episode number 5 put me in a so difficult place. I couldn't even realize, or until now maybe can't realize it. And I gotta say, it felt then like a blunder to publish episode number 4, because I didn't realize how good number 3 was. I don't know why, but it has to do, of course, with this gender stuff, with this strengthening the feminine position and talking about those organs also, and making this feel like making a discourse, inventing a discourse where, yeah, this is a very powerful organ, and there's something, wow, so majestic and admirable and totally incomparable. There's nothing that us men could come up with this comparing to this. And also this philosophical situation of being on a two-faced situation, or being on a mountain edge, mountain ridge, and yeah, simply going on. And I feel like this, like there's a deep sense of guilt because of this inertia that I'm always talking about. We all are so sluggish, nice word that I only looked up a couple of days ago, but I like to use it now a lot. And this sluggishness, inertia, yeah, prohibits that we start acting differently and do maybe something, like for myself would be already something to stop smoking even for one day, would be an achievement and a delta and something wholly new, and would make me feel bright and all, become a very new person. But of course we all are like this, that we don't like to take new steps and take steps into new directions. And this is the thing with this mountain ridge. You always keep there on the mountain crest, keep walking, and yeah, this is so beautiful. Although, of course, there could be an amazing view of the landscapes left and right, but but still you wonder who put me in this place, and I couldn't even come up with a known decision of which direction to take. I only wander here along here because this, well, it's the top of the mountain, it's where I stand, and only can go in this one direction. And this is, I think, everyday life. This is this treadmill that we're all stuck in. Well, some maybe feel it more or less, but I think with this working in the workplace in this capitalist societies, we're all kind of the same as proletarians stuck in there. And yeah, and I'm only talking about this mountain crest again because I felt it was so magic, this episode. Not the episode itself, but the act of publishing it. I felt like, wow, this must be the greatest thing I've done. Or I don't know why, because this episode was like playful. It was, yeah, in a way ironic, and it was not so committing and serious as the episodes that followed, maybe also the one before. It was a playful episode, and that's the thing about love and seduction and eroticism. You also want to take it slow, as I said last time, because it's so joyful also. Maybe also it is really joyful with this girl, because maybe she already feels this for me, or at least I suspect, yeah, I kind of maybe suspect this and hope for this. She could be feeling this, and then I also say to myself, well, why take it so fast? Yeah, why even? It's auskosten your you savor the moment. Yeah, savoring the moment. But still, at some point, yeah, this has to be this materialistic turn, and I feel like it's right now already the time for it, because I can't keep going on forever. So I'm already half a year at least since I felt like I was falling in love to you, and always this month suppressing these feelings and thinking, oh well, yeah, maybe it's this joyful play of deceptions, and it's so romantic and erotic art of seduction, of mutual sides, because also I don't want to go forward, because I don't like that stubborn role pattern and this male activity role. But okay, still, this is also kind of stubborn fight we're fighting then, because she says, oh yeah, but I want to be like this and wait for you, and this is the greatest thing. And I also understand you if you want to be like this, yeah, waiting and reacting, and this is a very erotic thing also, it's joyful, and I totally get it, and maybe didn't get it before that good, that you were also maybe giving me signs and feeling like, yeah, this is already in action, and it is a total valid action, because when you think about what I said last time about these provocations provoked me to record episode number 2 and also to publish it. And yeah, then what is this provocation? It is already in action. And this one time, yeah, I felt like totally you were standing there right in front of me. And I think it was this one time even exactly before I recorded the number 2. There in the afternoon, only the 3 of us left, I think, the 2 Ukrainian girls and me in the office, and there you stood there and, yeah, making all these kind of gestures, because you had seen that, yeah, that this did something to me. I was kind of watching out of the aus dem Augenwinkel, interesting word, I think, out of the corner of my eye watching you, and yeah, there you saw, oh yeah, this, I can make him whatever. Yeah, provoke him or put some pressure on him. That's so good, because pressure is so good. It's the thing I didn't understand, because before I went to work, because I was always this anti-capitalistic, or not always, but in the last 4 or 5 years, I started to develop and develop my theory and read a little bit and communist theory and philosophy. But then being so anti-system, you think, oh well, it's best to not do anything, can't be part of this, don't want to work, and this is so brutal and authoritarian that they force me to work. But you also have to be forced. That's what I realized then, because I got way more productive and more happy. Also, this didn't feel so good earlier when I was in this intermediate phase after finishing my university degree. And also in university, never felt as good as now when you're working and you have a job and you can rely on it and feel independent. You're not depending on anyone like parents or someone. And exactly, that's the big relief. And it also has to be authoritarian. There has to be a structure around you that calls you to simply, yeah, simply calls you, treats you like a slave in a certain way, that you have to go there. It's a law. And this is something good that we also have to keep in socialism, because I feel like I can't organize or come up with a plan for my life myself. There has to be this societal structure, only it's very structured in a very wrong way in capitalism, and this liberalism makes us feel like we're all competitors, as I said last time. Also in love, maybe all competitors even there. But I guess my roommate, I said, roommates, and okay. Yeah, so this week nothing happened, and I feel like this soon has to happen, because there's such a high tension in me, and tension simply has to be lowered. Lower the pressure or the tension. Okay, pressure is something good, but at some point it's getting too much. And therefore I'm also speaking to myself, of course, with those episodes. I feel, I don't know, they're for you, of course, kind of, or also for the rest of the world, as they can, they were in a really reactionary time and framework, but maybe if they can listen to this, they can also pick up their own, pick up animus, be, and yeah, maybe also look for love, or even dare to think about it, because it's so painful, of course, these intimate things, and especially biology and those sex topics, so painful to think about it. I feel this very deeply, and it's not as painful now as I'm expressing all this, especially with this number three, because yeah, it wasn't so serious. It was in a two-phase, this was perfect. And also I noticed this on you, and that maybe, yeah, I thought you're tortoise and saw this new face. Oh man, this is kind of smiling, and oh yeah, this is so great. This is exactly this seduction situation. We were saying, yeah, the male part is kind of active and trying to seduce and looking for the woman, but I felt this was perfect situation after number three, and it wasn't that good after the serious stuff in number four and five. No, this is so serious, but that's exactly the point. I feel the pressure is so high already all this month, and therefore I have to get serious, and therefore also this fear of being knocked out, because this was what I was thinking after Christmas when I sent you all those texts that I shouldn't have sent, of course, so much, because I'm a grateful maniac, and so maniac, and yeah, there I felt, oh man, now I've said too much, I couldn't even handle it. If she came to me or asked me to go out to lunch, and what would I say if we left the building? And there I think I would drop, because what could I say? I mean, I would like to say all this and say, yeah, there was this thing, I kind of forgot about this love letter, and this I wanted to tell you, and I feel for you, but then at the same time I feel, oh no, I can't, how can I say this? It's better to drop and be maybe dead at the spot, but at least this would be so shameful, maybe, or I don't know. But exactly, that was a problematic situation. I put myself into that situation, of course, after our little exchange on Christmas, or the Christmas vacations, and there I felt like I had checkmated myself, and yeah, clear checkmate. And yeah, I keep thinking about this episode number 3 and how to produce episodes like this. But of course not to seduce any other girl, but still, if you're in a relationship, of course the seduction has to go on, I think, because it's something nice and pleasant. And but that's exactly the point, how to keep the tension high. But it's not even that big of a mystery. It's not my point. That also, I of course always have this fear, how this is gonna be. Am I gonna love you forever, or are you gonna love another boy? And this is so traumatic. But then again, I think, no, this is exactly what I want also, that you could love another person also. And I simply feel so much for you that I feel that I want, even if there could be a phase of separation, and where for some circumstance, doesn't matter what, but for something we could feel like, yeah, we have to separate for a time, or have to have relations with other persons. And yeah, I would feel like I love you so much and wouldn't have to conquest you back at any time in the future, and it would be totally possible to have such a relationship, polyamorous, to love several people. And that, yeah, but yeah, of course this is traumatic. And also thinking now about this, why is this feeling so different now that I have for my ex-girlfriend? There's still this love feeling, but it feels like it's a little below, a little lower on the stack. It's like the stack, of course, in programming, or in the code execution, the compiler. I think this task is to work everything that's on the stack. And of course he starts at the top, and that's also, it's natural for humans. Of course this is also this sluggish behavior, inertia. But this is nothing bad. Of course, we are programmed also by evolution to not waste our energy, to follow the lowest energy level. And this is so complicated, because in love you feel, yeah, you have to do 1,000 things, you have to be so special, but maybe you can't be that special, but a little bit. Therefore also this phase, therefore it's good to take it slow, I think, because there these love feelings and imaginations can build up, but at some point it has to all get out and explode. And this is what I wanted to express here, that yeah, I kind of want to say it all there for also these numbers 4 and 5. Well, simply want to say it all, and maybe if we talk directly, or we could start from 0 and wouldn't have to tell it all there, this stuff, say that I love you and I want to spend my life with you, and feels like every hour is so much brighter or so much more beautiful, and feels like I want to have you around me all day. But this shouldn't maybe even be said in a direct conversation, because there it's better to build it up slowly. But here I can say it and say, feel like, yeah, I kind of got it all out, and that's good, because I also have to get it out, and it's no other way. And yeah, exactly. And now this is very high on the stack. It's the most important thing I have to do to talk to you and figure this difficult thing out. And then yeah, with my ex-girlfriend it's a little lower on the stack, and it's also that I think of her and have this yearning for her still. Didn't see her in a few months now, and feel like, yeah, this would be so great to hug her. And yeah, but it's wholly different. It's this curiosity for this other person, and it's simply down the stack. It's somewhere hidden there, and yeah, it will maybe get to the surface again. But that's exactly my point. It could be, it could happen. That's this, when you first start loving, of course you're so enchanted by each other, you feel like this is the most interesting person in the world, and you exclusively want to spend time with this person, and then maybe this can drag on for some month or even a year or several years, and this is totally great. It's a great thing to live. Also, I want to live it and don't have so much experience in it, but still feel like wanting to live this totally. But later on, maybe there comes another phase where you can say, yeah, now it's time to also open this relationship out and have other also romantic sexual contacts, if both would be fine with it at that moment, or yeah, if one feels like yes, that need and doesn't want to tell the other about it, this wouldn't necessarily be betrayal, as Robert Faller wrote. But I kind of have this feeling, yeah, I want to say it all. Maybe not everything that is in my soul, therefore it wasn't a good idea to publish this November cast, because this is really something, yeah, my soul, maybe this is my inner self, and this can't get out right now. But still, I want to say it all, and also this, when I would have this wish for having a relationship with a third person. But I think then simply, if I could return to my ex-girlfriend, and yeah, she would be fine with it, there would be a feeling of guilt reverted, because then she would be high up the stack and I would think, oh man, this is the most exciting girl in the world, and how can this be that I feel like this for her now and for this other woman, this co-worker that I was now in a relationship with. There's now this feeling of curiosity is vanishing, and you know this person already so good. But what I'm saying is simply that there it would be reverted, the other one would be up the stack, and yes, something natural, it's a cycle, it's a change of the stages of the seasons, and you have to choose carefully. Therefore I say, yeah, this is only those two girls that I love right now, and I don't even know if it's possible to love more, but I feel like, yeah, two is totally possible. But maybe I shouldn't, or of course, now at this moment, I shouldn't fall in love with any other girl. I have to clear this and solve this. And there, yeah, this would be reverted, and this would kind of cross each other out. I feel like the feeling of guilt in the first place crosses, then the other feeling of guilt in the second phase crosses it out, and it's this big thin synthesis. It's yeah, it's just a big conclusive synthesis that in love it's like this. It's an eternal love, and this has to do with the philosopher Hegel. It's an eternal love, and so such a perfect love. But this doesn't mean that there are also spots in this love process that don't feel so perfect, and that feel very ambivalent, feel like a betrayal, feel like, oh, how can this be if this is supposed to be such a one of a kind, such a incomparable relationship, how can this be that I'm feeling now this curiosity? But that's exactly the thing, you want to make this love relationship last, and this is fidelity. You want to make it last, you have this yearning for making it last until eternity, until death, and this is fidelity, yeah, loyalty, but fidelity. And this fidelity, but doesn't mean that you have to be so single-minded or so stubborn and holding on to this formal sign, this formal proof, like saying, yeah, you can't kiss or hug or touch another person, you can't have a romantic relationship with another person, because that would break the fidelity to the first person. And I say, no, this is wrong, because Hegel tells us that, yeah, I mean, it's I don't know, these philosophers in depth, especially Hegel. I've read a little, but still don't know a lot about him. But the thing is about Kant, Kant and Hegel were two very famous philosophers from 200 years back in Germany. And Kant, he lived a little earlier, at the time of the French Revolution, and he kind of said, but I never really read his work in the first from first hand, I don't know his work, but kind of said, oh yeah, this stage on the world, and there's all these objects, and this, it's a big theater, but this is only our perception. Who knows what's behind those objects? It's the Ding an sich, the thing itself, and we can never know what's there. We have to say, okay, it's fine like this, it's enough to see the appearances. And Hegel then says, yeah, he's also a disciple of Kant and admires his work, but he wants to bring it further and says, oh well, yeah, this is true on one hand, we can't see the whole truth, but on the other hand, in our look is already encrypted this vision of wanting to look at the whole thing. And how could you know, even if it's not the real thing? I mean, yeah, you have to be confident in a way and say also, you can never reach the object itself, but maybe this is already encrypted in reality itself, that this thing simply can't be reached and it's out of our grasp. But the simple act of grasping and thinking about it, making a plan and saying, yeah, I want to make this grasp and do it as good as it gets, make this perception of the world and figure it out as truthfully as it gets. And already this is the perfection, is the whole truth, says Hegel. It's kind of like this, it's not a perfect explanation, but again, yeah, how can it be perfect ever? I think I've at least expressed some of these points. This is so crucial also to love, to understand this, that yeah, of course you can remain on this Kantian standpoint. Like my girlfriend, my ex-girlfriend, maybe she likes Kant because she said she read him and she studied jurisprudence. She's a prudent girl, right? And yeah, they read a lot of Kant, therefore maybe she's more of this Kantian philosophy. But I have to tell her also, yeah, but this is not the whole truth. Of course you can say always, yeah, it's all only appearances, and yeah, what am I even talking about? I'm thinking now, I'm just a small man. I'm not worthy. This is a good point. I'm not worthy of these women because they are so high up there. And this also has to do with their manners, with their feminine manners, which I don't want to reject or reproach anybody, but still I would simply want to explain that it also puts this man into a difficult position, and also therefore all my waiting, because I don't like this male position of being active, although yeah, I see all this erotic, but still I don't like it this way. And so please just understand me that also I want to understand you. But okay, now with this thing about Hegel, and I hope I could express this, that love can be perfect, although it can't feel that way every single second in your life maybe, but still it's a good plan to say, yeah, this love also has to do with the sexual drive, but it's not restricted to that. You could have sex with other persons, but still to this one person I feel such a special connection, and feeling like it's simply yeah, simply always want to be around him or her, and makes every day so much more beautiful and fulfilled. And yeah, this is hard to think that then maybe you feel this for another person, but you shouldn't have to take a decision. And of course, yeah, for practical reason, it's simply impossible to love 1,000 persons in your life or at a time. It's not possible. Therefore, you have to choose carefully. And I feel like, yeah, 2 goals, this is already a lot. This is maybe more than I can take. Maybe, I don't know, because I never had this experience, but yeah, maybe it's already too much. Just need to try this film. And but for practical reasons, it's not even possible. This is also liberalism in founding us, the idea that we always had to strive for more, always need the next best thing, and therefore we feel like this suppressed. And this liberalism thing is very oppressing. It's very, very crucial what I expressed last time about my roommates, that I feel kind of in a competition against them. And yeah, this is and now before starting to record, I had a nice conversation with my roommate from Syria. He's also a refugee from Syria, and it felt so good because exactly of this social thing. On one hand, yeah, of course, it's always good to talk. It's always a nice experience. Not only if this erotic tension, but in my opinion, yeah, it's always this erotic tension. Doesn't even matter if you're heterosexual or homosexual. It's kind of always present with any person, but in different grades. Of course, it's not the same intensity, but simply what was so great about this conversation was that he told me how also he has all these vices, and I like to compare myself and think, oh yeah, am I too viceful or dirty? And he told me that I knew that he liked to play computer games and was playing all day long, and there he's told me no, he was disappointed with himself. It was like an addiction. He was coming home and playing 3 or 4 hours, and therefore he simply sold his computer. And I find this so brave. I mean, he's a young man and he's making such a decision for his life and saying, oh yeah, for this addiction. And yeah, of course, yeah, now this feels like I'm losing out in the competition with him, because of course I can't get rid of that simply of my addiction. But never mind, I feel so great for him that he's also started now his first job, and I know of course how much self-confidence that can give you to be working on a job. He started a job as a security guard. They are guarding houses, refugee camps, because they need to be protected mainly against these right-wing attacks, terrorist attacks. Of course, there are many since this big so-called refugee crisis in 2015, which was nothing else than big media hype and big media fear-mongering about how too many refugees are entering. So this fear-mongering that of course also no agenda signs off on. It's always on this track, kind of I don't know how to call it, anti-refugee. But yeah, there are already many people with a migration background here in Germany, and this is the difficult topic, because those Ukrainians now that come, they, yeah, I must say this, they also have a kind of, talking here about a difficult subject, yeah, because I don't want to talk shit about anybody here to live together, but still need to express it, yeah, get it all out, that they, of course, look like we do here in Germany. There's no difference. They are white, or even whiter than we, and they feel like they aren't real of course they are strangers, but they feel like they are not the real foreigners here. There's so many foreigners, especially here in the south, because yeah, probably has to do with the economy being so good here, everything, yeah, so productive here. And those refugees, well, from Ukraine, they feel like, yeah, they're above it and they're the better foreigners, and it's a little racist, I must say, that they yeah, just noticed this in my one roommate, but I don't wanna I just wanna express it, that he was kind of saying, oh yeah, Germans are right to hate foreigners. Germans are right to be a little racist because the foreigners here are like this. And what I'm saying here is again that, yeah, and man, I totally understand this, because when you come from a country like Ukraine, you're a slave, like I said, you're so oppressed, and even have to flee in order to not die there, being grinded in the meat grinder in the war. And yeah, of course, they just want to become here and want to say this, what they expect we want to hear from them, we the Germans. And of course, this is what the mainstream Germany wants to hear from them, that they say, oh yeah, we're the good foreigners, we're not like all the rest. And this is exactly, of course, there's a lot of exceptions and rules for Ukrainians that don't apply to refugees from other countries, and yeah, it's kind of racist, but never mind. And now need to keep moving. I feel like my energy level is low today, of course, because I'm very sad now, not seeing this girl 3 days. It's all it's a holiday on Monday, of course, workers' day. It's communist holiday, of course, not. Yeah, but it's also legal holiday here in Germany. But I need to get it all out of the way. I feel like, oh, I'm kind of tired. I don't know what's happening to me. I was so keen to record this episode, just get it all out and von der Seele, clear one's soul, is a nice expression. To make a clean breast of something, or to get something off one's chest. And exactly, I want to get this off my chest, that I feel like I'm too dirty as a man, that women are so high above, and even if this one woman, this co-worker, could be also attracted by me, still then I would think, oh man, but can this really happen? This is, I feel like this is possible. It's, but okay. There's so many things I annotated here. Let's move on. And I also feel like my brain, my language center isn't so good today because of all the smoking and stuff, and I need to rest, but still, yeah, it's kind of good. I kind of already feel more relaxed today. And okay, so a crucial sentence in this Eminem song, also I rapped this last time, but what I wanted to say is that I was listening to this song when I was in Argentina, like 10 years ago, and this one verse, I totally misunderstood this and thought it's that this verse goes, you want to win, they don't want you, as soon as they do, feelings change. But then I came up with this, yeah, that this makes a lot of sense. My misunderstanding makes maybe more sense than the original verse itself, because you want to win, they don't want to. It's all a social or socialist net. It's a net of feelings. The feelings you have only because those are reactions to the feelings of the persons around you. And it's all connected, and you react to what you see other people do. You see your co-workers or your friends, and you see, oh yeah, it could be nice to have a love relationship. You see people kissing out there, and you say, oh, well, why shouldn't I be kissing? This looks great, right? And yeah, and also this competition I talked about against my roommates, and yeah, it's all so interconnected, and this connection has a very dark, very negative turn, of course, because of this liberalism, because of this liberal market where we all compete and we all feel like we have to get the best out of ourselves, the best out of our abilities, we can make the most money, and yeah, with money also comes love, right? Then you can, then maybe someone can love you for the money, or then simply love won't be such a big problem, because with money one can feel, yeah, because this erotic tension is present in every interaction, as I said, and with money you can feel like everyone is looking up to me. Yeah, I don't even have to have sex, it's but still I'm standing so high, and yeah, could I'm like admired, this is already the sex I'm getting, that everyone is looking up to me, or I can buy anything, and this is the great social contract, that with money comes power, purchase power, and yeah, liberty of your days, don't have to sell. At least if you have that much money, you're a capitalist bourgeois, and then at least you don't have to sell your working capacity and can do whatever you want each day. But that's exactly the problem there, the pressure, the tension would be totally missing, and yeah, wouldn't be such a great life. Therefore, socialism is a way better idea. We can offer this work to anyone, to everyone, and yeah, simply way better than this. Liberalism is tearing us all apart, even the bourgeois, they think it's such a great state, and but really, what can you do if you have that much free time and nothing to do, no pressure? It's even worse maybe than the workers that are exploited. But okay, and this, you want to win, they don't want you. This is such a big topic, I can't explain and explore it all today, no, but plainly wanted to mention it, because I have to come back to this maybe later. It's so crucial, this socialist feeling that it all has to do. Also, when you hold your lover's arm or hand, you want to be seen by other people. It feels so good then to be walking around in the city and other people seeing you. Why? Don't even know, because those people, you're never gonna see them again. But in love, it's so crazy. Also so crazy that this one person is so intense, her or your your stare or whatever when you look at me, and it's so important what you see in me. I feel like, yeah, this is the true me, what you perceive in me, and I can't even explain this. I mean, there's thousands or billions of people in the world, and I could love anyone, right? But still, if it goes wrong with you, I could say, oh yeah, doesn't matter, could love the next, but it doesn't feel this way. It feels like, no, this is the one, and if I blunder, this could be such a huge blunder, I don't know if I could come back from this ever again. Exactly. And with this blunder, I'm talking also about this chess game. Yeah, there was this interesting stunning game, intriguing, fascinating game between the Russian Nepomniachtchi and Chinese Ding, and Ding won, equalized the score, and yeah, now there's one game left to go. Today is Friday, 28th of April, tomorrow is the decisive game, and if it ends in a draw, then there will be the tiebreak on Sunday, a quick chess with less time, and they have to play faster, and there, of course, they have mistakes, and therefore, yeah, will be decided. But today's also on the Scheide, on the mountain ridge. Don't know where, which way will it go, to China or to Russia, the title. And I don't even know who, but yeah, I have a favorite, of course, Nepo, because of his looks. He looks also so good, so attractive. Also, I can say that as a heterosexual man, this man, wow, this is, I don't know, but okay. And he likes to wear also this more feminine connotated colors, pink. He likes, and he looks so great in a pink shirt. Wow, this guy, Nepomniachtchi. And and how he looks, how he analyzes the board. You get a feeling he's really thinking deep. He's coming up with all kinds of strategies. And yeah, it's sad about him. I watch the commentators all the time commenting, and they say he's a player that has many tricks. Trickery on one hand, but yeah. The downside of him is he also sometimes has this tendency to make those sort of unexplainable mistakes, this blunders, like this week. Trickreich, clever, cunning. He's a cunning player, but then makes this blunder out of nothing, plays a move that's so random. He leaves this chess piece totally without cover, and his adversary Ding could take it off the board easily, and there it was already lost. It was lost, and Nepo, he came back to the board, because there they always wander off, those players. I find this so interesting. They have a separate room where they can go when the other player has to make a move and is thinking, and they can wander off there and relax there. But then he came back to the board and saw the move the Chinese player made, and said, oh man, he was swearing on Russian. The commentator said, also Russian, swearing, and for like 5 minutes he was going nuts and staring into the camera. And there, exactly, that's what I thought there. Yeah, this is exactly this thing in love. Also, you feel like you're living against the whole world, but you also want to demonstrate that you're a bad person, like I demonstrate all my vices and say, yeah, I have this bad, because it's so impossible to live up to that high standard that you expect from yourself in love, or you want to be, because that other person looks at you and it makes you feel so bright, but you have to be this person. Man, this could be so great, but why am I such a shameful person? Can't get my life together. Why is this that way? And I will blunder also this relationship, this is what I feel, because of all those vices. And why? Oh man. And there with Nepo, I had exactly this feeling that he was staring into the camera and kind of, yeah, he wanted the whole world to see how big of an idiot he is, and saying, oh man, I'm such an idiot, and you can all see this, and yeah, I can't live up to this high standard. I know I could be this high playing, this chess player, the best of the world, better than Magnus Carlsen maybe even, but I could do it, but I never get the discipline. Like I'm always pounding myself or feeling guilty for not being so disciplined in my writings and podcasting. And I saw totally the same in Nepo's face there, and also this, that he went on with this kind of mimic, with his gestures for like 5 minutes, and then he made his next move, but then after a couple of moves he already gave up and said, okay. Yeah, his facial expressions there was so rich, and he wanted to the whole world to see that he is really an idiot and he will never make it. And then the next day, the next match was yesterday, on Thursday, and there he was totally changed. He was so subdued, said the commentator there. Made a subdued impression. Unterwürfig, subdued, well, simply a little lowered. He bowed his head, like in love, but not in this way. But yeah, maybe kind of everything's connected to love, right? He feels this love to the game, to the chessboard, and it feels like he's not worthy of this great game. Feel like he blundered it. Yeah. So then, right, next day, and he also didn't wear a pink shirt. I think that felt simply not so confident, and was sitting there like nervous. And yeah, I thought, oh man, poor guy, what happened to him? I mean, okay, yeah, this is psychological, really a setback. You have to be careful how to handle this. Also in chess, in every sport, the psychological momentum is very, very important. And yeah, but this ended in a tie, in a remis, unentschieden, in a draw. So the whole match is still at a draw, and tomorrow will be played the 14th and last official game of the match. But still Nepo, he got into some pressure in this last game, and although he was, I think he was playing with black, right? I think yesterday he was playing with white. So therefore, white has always this advantage. But still, at one point, Nepo got into a critical situation. And black was looking way better. But then Ding played a move that also was so random, didn't make sense, surprised everyone, the whole commentators. And yeah, right there, the advantage was gone, and it ended in a draw. But okay. And of course, they're both so nervous now. So they're so close to grasp this holy thing, the title. Like, yeah, maybe myself also feeling so nervous and don't even know what is this great thing stream. And yeah, but I feel like these podcasts are also good because I couldn't tell all this to the face, to your face. Like, girls, maybe they expect this from us and say, oh yeah, you're such a strong man and you should be strong enough and man up. And yeah, you could tell all this to me. Why do you have to make your podcast? And there you feel strong, but yeah, simply it is like this. I mean, yeah, can't be that blunt, can't speak your soul, and maybe it wouldn't also be a great idea to do this in person, but I feel, yeah, this is different in writing or in podcasting, and I speak like I act, my thoughts are sporadic, I act like I'm an addict, like this Eminem verse. And also the next verse is, I rap like I'm addicted to smack, like I'm Kim Mathers. Kim Mathers was his ex-wife. I looked this up. Wow, this is intense stuff right here. Talking about my personal life and this Eminem stuff. Yeah, this is always an artist. Maybe difficult to love because it feels like wanna love you, wanna be such a special person, and you can be through your art, but will this be enough? And but okay, I feel like, oh man, I'm already really tired, and I think, yeah, this is it for today. It's too much to, can't go on really. Yeah, it's really, no, I think I've said it all. It's so, wow, can I say anything else? One thing more, that the sexual drive is nothing that develops in puberty, as you say, or in adolescence. Is nothing that is wholly new injected into a human being in that phase, where of course there's a whole new phase of development of this. But also, I'm not an expert here in the theory of Freud and psychoanalysis, and also just starting to read some of it, but what he says, I think, is that there's also a sexual drive in children, and that this feeling of sexual kind of erotic affection is already present there at a child age, at maybe 5 or 6. And I simply wanna express that this is in line with my personal experience, that although you don't have such detailed memory from one's childhood, of course, but I still feel that there's some memory, also because I had such a privileged childhood, of course, in the kindergarten in Brazil. I feel there's some memories from back then, and yeah, because it was such a childhood free of any burden or problems, and other people can't live that. And also, if you have a traumatic childhood, you won't remember this. Told me once a psychologist that she had many patients who didn't remember. They remember just beginning from the 12th year of their lives, because yeah, everything else is being suppressed. It's a suppressed memory because it was too painful. But for me, not. And there I have these memories of Brazil and going to the kindergarten and seeing those girls. And it's a feeling of, yeah, this is a person, a girl. You look into her face and you play with her and make something, but simply it makes your whole day so much better, or just those few hours you can spend there makes everything so much better, and it's such an important thing. And there was this one girl, I think her name was Amanda, and then kind of my brother and I were both in love with her. And then one day he got out with a toy car. He took that from our home and gave it to her as a present, and I felt so ashamed. I felt jealous of him and said, why couldn't I come up with this? Because I wanted to give her that also as a present, but our mother, she had forbidden it, because I think I'd ask her, but my brother, he was simply blunt and taking it anyway, this toy car, and maybe she didn't even like it. But still, this felt so bad when I saw him. Oh man, he's handing that over to her, and why? But still, I think also from this time, I already got into this polyamorous thinking, because it is clear for me that in this, simply clear that there are beautiful persons and persons that make you feel so special and so nice, make you feel like everything is fine and nothing more needed than to be with that person. And but still you feel that there could be this jealousy, but then you feel yourself that there could be also other persons that are attractive to me, and it's nice to pass time with them. And this polyvalent feeling is already encoded there in the childhood love feeling, I say, and therefore really it wouldn't be so difficult to introduce that into society. Of course we are very alienated, of course that's wholly so seems so far and impossible in this capitalist mindset and structure, but if you could kind of live that and take up that energy also from your youth and feel this already, that there's always this polyvalent feeling of connection, and it's not even clear, is it friendship or is it love? In this early time in the youth, of course their sexual organs are not developed, there's not this sexual tension. Of course you can get maybe an erection also as a boy, but it's not that, simply not that drive of having sex or something. But still there is a love drive, there is a drive of saying, I want to hug this person is so special to me, want to show something, just it can't be quite expressed, there's no ventil. There's no outlet, you can't let those emotions out, or maybe you can even, but not in this sexual way, or not in this kissing romantic way. You don't know what is this that the adults are doing. And I want to say only this, it's only this one special girl I remember, but I know that there are several, and it's also not restricted to girls, although I feel heterosexual, but you can feel also maybe such a strange interlaced cross feeling between friendship and love towards someone else. And it's as simple as that then you have to feel, you have to come up with this conclusion that this is the most important thing in the world, in your life, and it doesn't even matter a bit what other people could be thinking about you, like with a toy car, of course it doesn't matter what my mother thinks. And you also have to sidestep and overpass the rules of the society and what society could be thinking, and the stare of of society, and only be open to the stare of your lover and say, you are my all world, and simply if I can be with you or spend those few hours with you, it's the most important thing. And it's topping, it's a topping like on a salad, or it's a cherry on a cake, but it's much more of course than a cherry, but it's kind of a topping, but it changes the whole appearance of the day. It changes the whole feeling, and you have to simply get it, and it doesn't matter what else happens. And Yeah, and all this gender stuff and gender roles is already doesn't matter. We're past that because now you feel this special connection, and yeah, this all this stuff and biology and the sexual organs and stuff. But wow, this is not that important in this moment. You simply feel you want to hug this person and need to be in contact to them, and or at least looking and seeing their movements and facial expressions, and yeah, seeing all this joy and sharing those joyful moments. And with that, thank you for your courage, and say, I have to close it up here. Can play a little song for you. This one song I was thinking about is from this German singer, Lotte, she's called, and she's singing about something. Don't look at me like this, because I can't really resist, weil ich bei dir nicht anders kann, can't resist, and yeah, this is the thing. Maybe one last thought, yeah, that women, maybe, they think like, they need to be this reactive, need to be a little passive, because they feel like they can't resist a man. And also this is the thing about the manliness, men, like I explained last time, men, they are told to be like this, like standing for themselves, making a big fuss, or simply making a move, and yeah, and therefore maybe therefore men are also more beautiful, or a strange thought, but this is what I saw in Nepo's face, also this beauty I talked about, yeah, because you have to be confronted with those problems, and also with those very bitter moments, like Nepo when he was swearing. You have to be confronted with this, these moments, and women never will quite get there, because also in love, when you don't make the first step, and you always are just giving signs and provoking and saying, oh yeah, but you should have, of course, this was, I was telling you with my eyes or with my gestures, of course telling you that I was also so crazy about you and only wanted you to make a move, and but still this is the wrong way, I say, to win. No, because then you're not gonna get this feeling. Also, when you get rejected, this is a very crucial feeling. Also, you can feel this bitterness, but this bitterness is something that forms your character. And I think I never even got rejected, like I said. Yeah, maybe from this Ukrainian girl, this coworker, but I never really tried or never had much love relationships. And no, I can't, don't think, but exactly. Also, this is a very bitter realization that you didn't even get that far of like getting rejected, but even that forms the character, as I say, and correct, forms the character simply, and you have to get there, because you're not going to get that beautiful, or at least that's my theory, that also, yeah, in your face, and everything about behavior and expressions which makes you beautiful, like those chess plays, is that you're confronted with a lot of problems and pressure in your life, and you have to solve it, and you're thinking really deep, like those chess players. They're maybe thinking a little, well, always restrained in those 64 chess fields, right? It's not, but still this is very deep, and yeah, but women have to get there, this is my point. And what I want to say, that women have to get there, right? But not only to be more beautiful, simply to be what you want to be, to do what you want to do, and to not be dependent on men and not be reacting. And sorry, I wanted to come up with something else, some more explanation of this, but then I have to wrap it up. But I don't know what was I saying. It's chess player, and you have to be like this, wanting to attack and saying, oh yeah, I'm gonna tear this down, tear this defense of my adversary down, and I'm gonna be like a man. And yeah, in this way we have to talk about femininity, but not in masculine terms, of course, but also in terms of strength and of attacking and of being autonomous and being independent and being admired by a lot of men, and men thinking like, oh man, look at this woman, she can do so much, and am I really worthy of her? And well, yeah. But okay, people. Yeah, I have to give up here. I wanted to catch another thought, but I'm not in my best moment. Not in my best game here, really. And well, I have to say goodbye. I think it's definitely another point I wanted to catch about this whole beauty and how it forms your character, and you have to feel also this bitterness, and it's totally a crucial experience in life, but shouldn't be aiming, of course, at this bitterness. Like this podcast, as I said, I'm talking this to me, doing this for me also, so I can, yeah, motivate myself and really turn myself into this direction, and mit dem Kopf darauf stoßen, nicht mit dem Kopf durch die Wand, but to put your head against this, and yeah, be simply driven into this, and this becomes so clear. Of course, this is the step I have to make, and yeah, therefore I have to say all this, and because if not, maybe I would, yeah, cling onto this bitterness and say, oh well, it's not worth. I want to be passive also, and if she doesn't come to me, I will simply think, oh yeah, would have been so great, but this love I feel inside is so perfect, and but yeah, too ashamed to bring it outside. And okay, with that, I think I have to close here and say good night and good luck. I never want to really close ours for the perfect words to say goodbye, but today I really can't find them, and I don't know, I'm really kind of tired. Yeah, goodbye, good night.
Immer ein Anfang, immer ein Pochen bis zum Hals bei dir, bei dir. Immer so kopflos, hey, warum bin ich schon wieder hier bei dir? Weiß nicht, was hier passiert. Verdammt, ich lieb das Chaos, das du kreierst. Ich geh dir aus dem Weg, will dich ignorieren. Es wird nie funktionieren, nie funktionieren. Und wieder mal fall ich in deine Augen, will mich darin verlaufen. Nach allem, was war, versteh's nicht. Warum will ich noch immer dich? Schau mich nicht so an, weil ich bei dir nicht anders kann. Schau mich nicht so an, weil ich bei dir nicht anders kann. Ich geh neue Wege, aber keiner führt an dir vorbei, vorbei. Du sagst, dass ich fehle, dass es dich immer noch zu mir treibt, zu mir treibt. Weiß nicht, was hier passiert. Du sagst, du brauchst das Chaos, das ich kreier. Gehst mir aus dem Weg, willst mich ignorieren. Es wird nie funktionieren, nie funktionieren. Und wieder mal fall ich in deine Augen, will mich darin verlaufen. Nach allem, was war, versteh's nicht. Warum will ich noch immer dich? Schau mich nicht so an, weil ich bei dir nicht anders kann. Schau mich nicht so an, weil ich bei dir nicht anders kann. Weil ich bei dir nicht anders kann. Ah ja, ah ja, schau mich nicht so an, weil ich bei dir nicht anders kann. Und wieder mal Zeichen deiner Augen will mich darin verlaufen. Nach allem, was war, versteh ich's nicht. Warum will ich noch immer dich? Schau mich nicht so an, weil ich bei dir nicht anders kann. Schau mich nicht so an, weil ich bei dir nicht anders kann. Weil ich bei dir nicht anders kann. Schau mich nicht so an, weil ich bei dir nicht anders kann. Schau mich nicht so an.
Lotte mit Nis Kötting am Piano.